turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. So in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples to do the work that he has been doing. It's not because he's going on vacation. It's because he is training them and multiplying his ministry through them. And Jesus continues to do that today through a people known as you and me. And he has given us the great commission that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And our nations begin at home, and the places that we go, we each and every one have been given a mission field. We are all missionaries. We are all ministers. We are all commissioned by God to do the work of God in this world today. We are Jesus's hands and feet. So Jesus said, you're going to go out and you're going to raise the dead, heal the sick, you're going to cast out demons. And they may have thought, woohoo, this is going to be great. And then he said, but you may be persecuted. Uh-oh. And then he tells his disciples, in beginning in verse 26, he says, don't be afraid, though. Don't be afraid. You may be persecuted. You may suffer punishment. You may be jailed. You may be brought before judges and officials. You may suffer for my name. But he says in verse 26, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. And what I want you to know this morning, church, is that disciples on mission do not need to be afraid. If you are on mission with God, you do not need to be afraid. Jesus told them and warned them of the difficulties that they are likely to face, but he follows up that truth with the encouragement that they are not to be afraid of people. And I don't know about you, I think I do know about you. We tend to be afraid of people. We tend to be afraid of what other people think, what other people say. We get afraid of criticism. We're afraid of the power that people may have over us. Spoiler alert, I want you to know that if you're on mission with God, you do not need to fear people. And beyond that, as a Christian, you do not need to fear anyone or anything. Isn't that good news? Because your life and eternal destiny are secure in Jesus Christ and God. So today I'm going to be talking specifically about how disciples of Jesus, those who are on mission with Jesus, do not need to be afraid. But I want you to also know that as a Christian, you don't need to be afraid of anyone or anybody because you are secure in Him. And so I want to present to you this morning four reasons not to fear people. All right? Four reasons not to fear people. This certainly applies to you as a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciple on mission, but it also applies to you as a human being, as a person. And so I want you to be encouraged by the Word of God this morning. Now, in the Bible, the words, do not be afraid, those specific words together in the King James translation appears about 70 times. 70 times! That combination of words is found throughout the Old and New Testament. The words, fear not, are found another 103 times in the same translation. And overall, the concept of fear is addressed over 500 times throughout the Scriptures. That's a lot, isn't it? 500 times. We are told not to be afraid. We are told to fear not. You remember when the angel spoke to Mary? The angel said, don't be afraid. When the angel spoke to Joseph, don't be afraid. Shepherds, don't be afraid. Seems that God would not have us fear. And so, looking together with me in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 33, I want to share with you these four reasons you should not fear people. Now, I say people because it's going to say men, but we all know it's men and women, right? There were certainly men that were feared in the Old Testament and New Testament, and there were certainly women in the Old Testament and New Testament that were feared by God's people. The first reason that Jesus gives us in this passage is found in verses 26 through 27, and that truth is this: the truth will come out. The truth will come out. God's word will be found true. You'll be on the right side of history with God, and when the truth comes out. Look in verse 26. So have no fear of them. He has just told them all the terrible things that they might face. But in light of all those terrible things, Jesus says, so have no fear of them. I wonder if any of them said, yeah, right. Have no fear of them. And then he gives us that first reason. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And what is Jesus saying here? He is saying, you don't have to worry because what Jesus has told them to say and do is right. It is good. It is the truth. They are not false teachers. They are not spreading untruths. What they are spreading and doing is the truth. And it will come out. It will be known. It will be exposed. So while authorities may say what you're saying and doing is wrong, the truth will come out that what God's people are doing is right. Amen? And so a good reason not to fear people as a disciple of Jesus is that the truth will come out. And you'll be found to be on the right side of truth. Amen? And that's good news. Now, it may seem like you're not, because everybody seems to be against you. You know, he had talked about being called before authorities. And they may have people who say what he's saying is wrong. He should be held accountable for not telling the truth. And you may feel, because everyone is against you and you feel alone, you may think, well, maybe I'm not on the right side. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that nothing that is covered, there is nothing that is covered that will not be revealed. You will, even if you're the only one, what you stand for is right and true. A second reason is that God is the only one that you need to fear. God is the only one that you need to fear. Look with me at verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Your most important relationship is with God. Unfortunately, we get off track. And sometimes, or many times, we value our relationships with people more than we value our relationship with God. Sometimes we value what people say more than what God says. Sometimes we fear what people can do to us and not what God may rightly condemn us for. Jesus very practically says, don't fear, do not fear, verse 28, those who can kill the body, just the body, but be afraid of the one who can kill the soul. A human, another human that you may fear, can only kill your body, can only disrupt your life here on earth, but they can't kill your soul. They cannot take away your salvation. They cannot cancel your reservation for eternal life. Only God can do that. If you belong to Him, you don't have to fear him killing your soul. Those are very strong words, and words that we need to heed. These are words that we need to pay attention to, because we are not nearly as afraid of God as we need to be. People in the world especially are not afraid of God. People mock God. They live apart from God. And as a Christian, we don't have to fear God, but we need to realize what a great and mighty and powerful God that he is. The only reason we don't have to fear God as Christians is because of Jesus. If it weren't for Jesus, we would all be, as the Bible says, enemies of Jesus. But through Christ, we are his. We belong to him, and we need not fear. It would do our world a favor. It would be better for our world if we had a greater, more awesome respect for God. And I would even say in the church. Through Christ, we don't have to fear God, but he is awesome and mighty and powerful. He deserves our respect. And we, people in the world, should make sure that their soul is right with God through Jesus Christ. And so when you fear men, your fear is misplaced, because you do not need to fear people. They can only kill the body. Now, I'm not discounting that. That's not a good thing. But what's really important in the grand scheme of things is your eternal soul. And that is something that God can judge without Christ. He says, fear him who can destroy both body and soul. And so the first reason that we shouldn't fear is that the truth will come out and you'll be on the right side. The second reason is that God is the only one you need to fear, not people. The third reason I want to share with you this morning is that God knows you and your situation. Nothing escapes God's attention. I've often joked, and I'll do it again, but I've often joked about how, y'all have heard me say this so many times, I just hate to bring it up, but I'm going to anyway, because it just fits. It fits. When people say bad words in front of me, and they apologize because they're in front of me, and it just kills me. Sorry, preacher, forgive my French. Well, first of all, it's not French. And second of all, God can hear you whether I'm here or not. I'm just his representative, and not even that. God knows, listen, church, God knows your heart. God knows your mind. He understands your motives. You cannot hide from God. You cannot run from God. God knows your situation. And as a follower of Jesus, that should be comforting. In fact, Jesus intends it to be comforting in verses 29 through 31. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. God, the sparrows, two for a penny. Sounds like a bargain, right? Can't buy two of anything nowadays for a penny. In fact, they're phasing out the penny. Have you seen that? I've been to places and it says, the government is doing away with a penny. So we're rounding up and we're giving the proceeds to some charity or something like that. Have you seen that? So he's saying that the smallest thing that people value the least, in this case sparrows, God even knows their welfare. God even knows their situation, their condition. It says not one of them. So you get two for a penny, right? Which means one for a half a penny, if my math is still good. And even the half a penny sparrow, God knows. It says, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. God knows the minutest details of what is going on among his people and among his creation. Nothing surprises God. Amen? And so you cannot fear, because you can know that God knows what's going on. You could never say that if you were being persecuted or going through a trial, you could never say, well, I wonder if God even knows about this. Because he does. If he knows, the logic is this. If he knows what happens to a half-cent bird, then he knows what's going on with you and me. Now, I must be careful with this next one. He gives us another reason. God knows the hairs on your head. I've seen some of you without hair already smiling at me. Back in the back, he just started smiling just like that. Look what it says in verse 30. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, you may lose, you know, a million here and a million there, but he knows it. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Adding, subtracting, plus or minus. Some of you have a really thick, full head of hair, like David over there, you know? And then some of you are struggling follically, like Ed. It takes a little more memory capacity for David's hair, not so much for Ed's hair. That's not the point. The point is, he knows you so intimately that he knows how many hairs are on your head. That's how well he knows you. You can't say that God doesn't know what you're going through because he knows how many hairs you have and how many you lost in the shower this morning. Now, Lisa and I are close. I think we're close. You think we're close? Oh, that's good to know. And I must say, with the kids not at home, it's a little easier these days. Where was I going with that? Fear not. I have my point. I love her. She's my best friend. I don't think anybody knows Lisa better than me. But I don't know how many hairs are on her head. I have not bothered to count. I do see quite a few in the shower. Well, mine too. I clean out the clogs. But, okay, I'll keep going. But think of the person that you love the most. Have you taken the care to count the hairs on their head? No. God has. God knows you so well. He knows you so intimately that he knows the hairs of your head. He knows you better than anyone else, and he knows you better than you know yourself. So you don't have to be afraid. Nothing that happens to you is going to escape God's attention. He is not going to be unaware. You're not going to have to send him a text. Hey, God, things are tough down here. Pay attention. If you did that, don't do that. The text would come back. Who do you think I am? I know you. I know your situation. I knew it a long time ago, and it's all working according to my plan. Don't text me back. Or he's really patient. He might ask you to text you back. You don't have to fear people because God knows your situation. Whatever you're going through, God knows what you're going through. God is at work in that situation. God's will is going to be accomplished. You don't have to be afraid. Amen? All right. Here's another one. Number four, if you're counting. Jesus will present you to God. You don't have to fear as a true disciple of Jesus Christ because when you face God, Jesus is going to represent you, so to speak. Look what it says. So everyone, verse 32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's focus on the positive part here. The positive part is that if, let's say, men did something to you and you found yourself awake in the glory of heaven, like the song said, Jesus would be there and stand with you before God. And this is what he would say, sort of. I don't know how things work up there, but I think Jesus would say, you already know God, but this one's ours. He did not deny us before men. And so Jesus is going to acknowledge, that's kind of tricky. Jesus might say, he did not deny us before men, and so I acknowledge him before you today, for all eternity. And so this is an important thing. If we acknowledge, if we are called to be a witness, if we are called to suffer, if we are called to be persecuted, we can know that if we acknowledge Jesus and we do not deny him in those opportunities, in those situations, we can know that Jesus will represent us. He will acknowledge us in heaven. What if you lose here on earth, you win in heaven. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you will find it. Now, the verse 33 is also true. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. One of the tests of true faith is, are you willing to let people know that you're a Christian? Are you willing to tell people that you're a Christian? Are you willing to suffer for being a Christian, however it is that you may suffer in our day and time? This one, as a teenager, really stuck out to me. Because the last thing a teenager wants to do is stand out, right? Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is telling his disciples, soon to be on mission, that acknowledge me when you're in those situations. Glorify me in those situations. Witness to my power in those situations, and I will acknowledge you before the Father when the time comes. Well, some of those disciples took Jesus' words seriously. Imagine that. And I want to show you an application of this in Acts chapter 5. So it's going to be on the screen, I hope, here in a minute. There it is, Acts chapter 5. Some of these apostles had gotten in trouble. They had been told, stop preaching. Stop talking about Jesus. You're upsetting people. And this is what the apostles did. This was after Jesus had died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit had come. The early church had been born, and the apostles are at work. They're testifying about Jesus, and they were brought, it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest, the Jewish high priest, mind you, questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Whose name? Jesus. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Exactly what Jesus had said, right? But Peter, he's one of those disciples on mission, right? And the apostles answered, we what? Say it with me. We must obey God rather than men. They got it, didn't they? They got it. They realized that they didn't need to fear God. They didn't need to fear man. They didn't need to fear the council or even the high priest. They didn't need to fear them because their situation was known by God and their eternal destiny was bound up in Christ, in God. And so when they were called to task by the highest authorities of the land at that time, they said, we must obey God rather than man. We're not afraid of people. We are most concerned with being faithful to the mission that God has given us. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? You know, the Bible would be completely different if we went to Acts chapter 5 and they said, and the high priest said, we told you to stop. And now all this nonsense is going on throughout our city. And they said, yes, sir, we'll stop. Would that be any kind of Bible you'd want to read? Man, I'm glad those apostles said, we must obey God rather than men. We're not as concerned about what you think as what God thinks. And that's most important. So I want to remind you as I close that if you are on mission with God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you are on mission with Him, and to be a Christian is to be on mission with Him, you do not need to fear people. Jesus said so. And he gave us four good reasons. But I also want to remind you that ultimately, as a Christian, whether you're on a mission trip or not, whether you're trying to share the gospel with someone or not at the moment, you do not need to fear anyone or anything. You don't have to be afraid. Now, let's be honest. We're going to do it anyway. We're people, right? Some of us are very fearful. Some of us are very anxious. And we'll have times of great courage, and we'll have times when we're just cowards, right? We're people. We're going to have times of weakness and times of strength. But if we could see things the way God sees things, if we could see things the way Jesus sees things, we would know that we don't have to be afraid because God's got us. Amen? But as a human, we're probably going to want, we're going to falter at times. But I want to encourage you to acknowledge Him, and He will acknowledge you. Amen? So what are you afraid of? What were you afraid of when you came in here this morning? Hopefully some of you say, nothing. I'm scared of nothing. Somebody might have been scared of people. Some may be scared of serving God because of what people may think or what people may say or how people may criticize. I hope you're encouraged this morning. I'm encouraged that we don't have to be afraid. Do not be afraid, Jesus said, when you're on mission with me. I hope you've given your life to Jesus Christ this morning, or before now, but even this morning. And if you haven't, I can't think of a better thing for you to do today than to repent of your sins and to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you will not have to fear anything or anyone, because God's got you. Let's pray.